Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our book pick segment. It's something we look forward to each and every week. We have two wonderful booksellers in the house, and man, we need them now as we think about the holidays and gift giving and just keeping ourselves sane and our own book reading needs met. So let me introduce you to two wonderful booksellers, and we'll get started and talk about their picks for the week. Jackie Callahan is here from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. And Amy Zimmerman joins us from Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Very excited to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program, as always. Thank you so much for being here. Things going well at the stores? You're all good?
Yeah, it's the most fun time of year.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yep. We've gotten carolers in, Mr. and Mrs. Claus, so it's been a pretty fun time.
Fantastic. All right. Jackie, would you like to begin?
Sure. So today I'm going to begin with a book called Babe in the Woods or The Art of Getting Lost. And this is by the artist, Julie Heffernan. And every year for Christmas, one of the special things that we do at our stores, and in Woodstock, is, you know, everyone kind of goes all out and, like, does up their windows. And so some years we base our windows on a book, and that's what we did this year. And so in this book, Julie Heffernan, and she's a professor of fine arts at Montclair State University. She's a painter, and her paintings are kind of like surrealist sort of self-portraits that reflect environmental themes and art history and feminism. But in this book, it's autofiction. In real life, Julie walked into the woods somewhere upstate New York, maybe Adirondacks, maybe Catskills, with her baby Sam and walked out. But in this book, she walks into those woods with her baby Sam and gets lost. And she doesn't have any compasses, she doesn't have any supplies, and she's trying to, like, on the one hand, figure out how to get out of the woods, but she's also trying to make sense of her life through art. And in doing that, she's kind of remembering her childhood. She grew up Catholic in small towns. Her friends, her siblings, some traumas, really recalling her mom. And throughout the book, you know, as she's having these recollections, there are these, like, points where she has these, like, clarifying moments. And that happens typically, and she recalls a specific, like, art piece, you know, one that you would see in a museum. And she has a realization and then kind of goes on with her story. The book is a mixture of her drawings of her journey, but then also her paintings in real life, which are, like, amazing. They're overwhelming. They're just, like, so super gorgeous. The book is a journey of memory and remorse and rebirth, and kind of, like, brings her to a new way of seeing and refreshes her in her journey as a mom, a wife, and an artist. And that is exactly what we needed in our Christmas windows this year.
Absolutely. It is Babe in Woods or The Art of Getting Lost by Julie Heffernan. Great stuff. All right, Amy, you're up.
So my first recommendation is the latest novel by Garth Greenwell, Small Rain. After days of excruciating pain, a poet and academic in Iowa City finally brings himself to the emergency room at the height of the pandemic. He expects to be sent home with a diagnosis, maybe some pills. Instead, when the doctors realize he's suffered a rare and unexplained medical event, he embarks upon a long, strange, terrifying journey all within the hospital walls. While reading this book, I was reminded of the famous Susan Sontag quote, that everyone who is born holds dual citizenship in the kingdom of the well and the kingdom of the sick. In his previous novels, Greenwell tackled the experience of being a foreigner abroad. Here, with the same eye for detail and unsparing prose, he explores one man's journey into the land of the sick. Greenwell's protagonist spends the majority of this novel learning the landmarks, language, and customs of this kingdom. Because the hospital environment is so realistically drawn, I felt like I was living in this world right alongside him, enduring the many indignities of being prodded and punctured, listening for clues and positive indicators amidst all of the platitudes and medical jargon. As immersed as we are in the tedium of hospital life, we simultaneously feel the high stakes and inherent drama of the situation. The medical mystery really drives this novel forward. It provides a scaffolding for Greenwell's more meditative, poetic language, intellectual musings on poetry and music, page-long flashbacks and anecdotes that serve to slowly flesh out our protagonist's life outside of the hospital. It's through these asides that we get to know Elle, our protagonist's partner. Their relationship is the real gift of this novel. We see Elle as he was and as he is now through the eyes of the man who loves him. Memories of their passionate youth, snapshots of domesticity and tension, an endless cycle of drifting apart and choosing to come back together. By the end of the novel, there is no magic pill or happily ever after. Instead, there is love and life as difficult, fleeting, and miraculous as ever.
Good stuff. All right. The name of the book is Small Rain by Garth Greenwell. All right. Next up.
All right. This next book, honestly, is one of my favorite books of the year, and it's by Ian Fraser, and it's called Paradise Bronx, The Life and Times of New York's Greatest Borough. And I'm super biased. Both my parents are from the Bronx. I spent my life driving across to the Bronx, going to relatives' places in the Bronx. I'm kind of a Bronx kid by, you know, at least my parents once removed. But what Ian Fraser, what this book is a 500-page chronological walk through Bronx history and places. And, oh, about 15, 16 years ago, Ian Fraser decided that he was going to walk 1,000 miles all over the Bronx. And so that's what he does in this book. You are grounded by his walk, his walks. You know, the book sort of, as I mentioned, it's chronological and it begins with the physical, right? And so I just have to read the first line. Okay.
Please.
The Bronx is a hand reaching down to pull the other boroughs of New York City out of the harbor and the sea. Its fellow boroughs are islands or parts of islands. The Bronx hangs on to Manhattan and Queens and Brooklyn, with Staten Island trailing at the end of the long tow rope of the Verrazano Bridge, and keeps the whole business from drifting away on a strong outgoing tide. So it traces from the physical beginnings, the indigenous people that live there, and it goes through and ends with the Bronx's current revitalization. And there's like five centuries of facts and stories. It's a history and it's a travel narrative. Like, some of the highlights of the books for me was, you know, Fraser talks about like the two really rough times in the Bronx. One of them was from 1965, you know, through sometime in the 80s, maybe, you know, some of my people say late 60s through 80s. But the other time, really bad time, the Revolutionary War, when the Bronx was like a no man's land between the colony territories and British territories. And kind of a star of that time, and someone who he spends a lot of time talking about, is Gouverneur Morris. Who, there are many places in the Bronx named after Morris, most notably Morrisania. And Gouverneur Morris was responsible in part for the preamble of the Constitution. He had the most amazing life. I knew nothing about him. Also, other highlights, you know, is his discussion of, you know, the buildup of the subways and how the subways really created the modern Bronx, but then the highways that almost destroyed it. And it's the subways that set up the real paradise time, which is the 1930s and 40s, sort of like the heyday. That's when my parents grew up there. He tells the story of Sonia Sotomayor, the walk that she made to high school every day. Also, the story of hip-hop, drawing very heavily on the wonderful Fordham University Bronx African-American History Project to tell that story. It is just, I love this book. Give it. Give it to a family member.
Paradise Bronx, The Life and Times of New York's Greatest Borough by Ian Fraser. All right, Sarah. Excuse me, Amy, I apologize. I'm writing to Sarah
right
now.
On the
now.
Brain.
Yes.
No worries. So I could recommend romance novels all day, but I won't. If I had to pick one recent standout, it would have to be Fang Fiction by Kate Stayman London. This is the story of a PhD dropout named Tess, who's been recovering from some personal trauma by escaping into the world of her favorite vampire series, Blood Feud. Very relatable stuff. That is, until Tess discovers that the sexy, stylish, bloodthirsty vampires she's been reading about for years are actually real. and they're in desperate need of her help. In a clever twist, our heroine quickly learns that the series she adored was more manipulation than mirror. The vampire who's been written as the romantic lead doesn't actually measure up, while the rakish villain ultimately teaches her not to judge a book by its cover.
Ooh, rakish.
I love how inspired this book is by fan and internet culture. Interspersed with the narrative, there are fictional blog posts and podcast transcripts that advance the plot while also building out the critical and popular response to the fictional Blood Feud novels. And yes, excerpts of those books within a book are included here too. This is a quick-moving, witty romance novel that doesn't skip over the serious stuff. Between the emotionally mature, trauma-informed romantic relationships and the many literary allusions, this is a real step above Twilight or, you know, 50 Shades of Grey.
Fang Fiction is the name of the book by Kate Stamen London.
Love that.
All right. Next up.
All right. Next book is a really wonderful biography called Survival is a Promise, The Eternal Life of Audre Lorde. And it's by Alexis Pauline Gums. And Audre Lorde was born in 1934. She died in 1992. And she is self-described Black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, mother, warrior, and poet. She was also an activist and a teacher. And in this book, what Alexis Pauline Gums does is she has like the whole archive of Audre Lorde, and she follows her life chronologically, but gives just this really incredible 360-degree perspective on what was happening in her life historically, politically, and culturally, but also in terms of like the literature that Audre was reading, especially as mm-hmm. she was growing up. And so one of the things I love is that she talks about like how Mother Goose had this huge influence on her, and some of her first poems, which she started writing when she was like 11 or 12 years old, you know, you could see the linkages and the inspirations between that. And so also the author's kind of providing literary criticism along the way. And it's really very interesting, immersive, and also very challenging book in a lot of ways. You need to read it slowly. It's not that it's academic, but it's like it's a big experience. And so I think that if you're looking for a wonderful biography of just an icon that you want to dig in and live in during your holiday break, get this one.
Survival is a Promise, The Eternal Life of Audre Lorde, and it is by Alexis Pauline Gums. All right. Amy.
You got it. I know it's a tough one. My next few recommendations are going to be courtesy of our bookstore owner, Sharon. First, she recommends Frozen River by Ariel Lahan. If you're a fan of historical fiction, we really recommend this novel, which recently came out in paperback. It's set in 1778, Maine. When a man's frozen body is cut out of the icy river, Martha Ballard, a local midwife, is called to examine him. This story is based on the journals of Martha Ballard, who delivered over 1,000 babies in revolutionary New England without ever losing a mother. Martha is remarkable not only for her healing skills, but also for her literacy. She apparently took notes on and had opinions about most of the events of the day. The detailed descriptions of life in these times, particularly for women, are fascinating. These women were subject to misogynistic laws and brutal realities, but also played important roles in the community and were active participants in economic, political, and family life. And as a bonus, after you read the novel, you can pick up A Midwife's Tale by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, which is an annotated edition of Martha's actual diaries.
All right. It is called Frozen River. Next.
So cool. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. Next
So next I have a bunch of music books that you might have a great time reading at any time, really. I think one of the best new music books this year is the biography of R.E.M. And the book is called The Name of This Band is R.E.M., a biography by Peter Ames Carlin. He did not have like really the cooperation or participation of the band in writing the book, but it's an encyclopedic tour through their early years at University of Georgia, Athens, through through the end of the band, really in 2008 and beyond. And it goes into all the details that made them the great kind of indie band that they were. I'm Gen X. I saw them play in college. They played a ton of colleges. Unlike a lot of bands, and I think one of the things that probably contributed to, and he talks about this, their like health as a band, is that the band took the writing credit, and so that kept them together
right
for a long time. So anyway, relive your college years, perhaps, with this book.
It's great, great yeah. stuff. Peter is fantastic, great writer and yep. a great music writer. Wrote a fantastic biography of Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
And he's going to be on our show later this week. So
oh,
we
cool.
look forward to having him on. It's really good
I'm going to be listening.
Other music stuff?
Other music stuff, of course, Cher. We put her on the side of our building in a big banner because she's sort of healing.
She's Cher.
Yeah, she's Cher. Ghostwritten, she didn't write it. Apparently, she also hasn't read the whole thing.
Hasn't read it.
Yeah, which I kind
wouldn't
of
love. Wouldn't even do the audiobook because she didn't want to read it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
She didn't want to know what the book was.
Yeah, because living it was enough.
Yes. Which I get. And part one, which
part
means
one.
It'll be a part two.
Exactly.
And that's very exciting.
Yeah, something to look forward to for next year, too. Anyway, next one is there's a Dylan movie coming out Christmas Day, December 25th. And it is based on this book, Dylan Goes Electric, by Elijah Wald, which came out several years ago. And it really focuses on Pete Seeger and Dylan and kind of like the shift of and growth of sort of folk music and then how the rock music takes over. And whenever I read about Dylan and kind of think about Dylan and Woodstock, I always think about the wonderful and great Happy Traum, who is a musician who passed this year in Woodstock, but he has a beautiful songbook called The Homespun Songbook, and it breaks down a lot of the songs that he covered and wrote. If you are learning guitar, come by and get The Homespun Songbook.
Great stuff. All right. So, a lot of good music mentions there. Amy.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that about how Cher hadn't read the book herself. I think that's
yeah.
iconic.
Yeah, it's pretty
good
great.
For her.
Yeah.
It's kind of a selling point, actually, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Like, you have done something Cher hasn't.
yeah.
Rare.
Read her own story.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I'm going to be talking about Black Dome Press for a minute because this is Ooh. A fantastic local publisher.
Love them.
Right? They're
yeah,
so great.
They're the
they
best.
Have a ton of titles that are relevant to upstate New York, such as the recently issued Hudson Valley History Hikes by Russell Dunn and Barbara Delaney, who are known for their many books on the history and great outdoors of the Northeast. So this is actually the fourth in their Trails with Tales series to be followed next year by Capital Region History Hikes, which will also cover Albany, Troy, and the Berkshires. These are amazing books. They contain detailed instructions for local hikes, including directions and degree of difficulty, all that good stuff. But the highlight is the extensive historical descriptions. Hudson Valley History Hikes contains 26 separate hikes in the Catskills, Taconics, and the Palisades. There are abandoned mines, carriage roads, fire towers, and stunning waterfalls. This is a great gift and a must-buy for anyone who's interested in the history of our wonderful region.
Hudson Valley History Hikes is the name of the book. Jackie.
So I thought I would end up just by mentioning two kind of sweet middle grade age books. One is a book it's called The Mythmakers. It's a graphic novel. It's by John Hendricks, and it is about the friendship between C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. When I was a middle grader myself, like I just like loved biography, and I could... I didn't read Lewis or Tolkien when I was that age, but I would have read this book to ease my way into those books. So it's called The Mythmakers. And then the next one, also a, you know, it's kind of historical fiction by the great two authors, actually, Rudis Sepetys
yep.
and Steve Sheinkin. And it's called The Bletchley Riddle. And it is about a brother and sister duo who are on the grounds of Bletchley Park in 1940. And they are trying to solve the mystery of maybe not only the death of their mom, but also a coding mystery. So these are two wonderful books for the middle grader or teen or younger kid in your life who loves I would say nonfiction, maybe a little more than fiction.
Good stuff. All right. Sarah, you get to... Amy.
Now you're just messing with me. So my final pick, and I have a question too. So my final pick is How to Love.
Will you just wear your name tag? If you all would just wear your name tag.
No, just me.
Wow.
So I can say this on the air, right? How to Love in an effed up world.
You can say that.
I can say that.
Yeah.
So that's my final pick, How to Love in an effed up world.
That's Amy's final pick.
Yeah. But I'm sure Sarah likes it too. by Dean Spade. I'm a big fan of Spade's. His 2020 book, Mutual Aid, Building Solidarity During This Crisis and the Next, is a really helpful guide to mutual aid, why it is so important, what it looks like, and how to do it. This latest project, which comes out next month, is a fascinating offshoot of that work. Over his many years in activist spaces, Spade noticed a pattern of vital social movements and projects falling apart because of interpersonal issues. Everything from tension within a group to romantic relationship and breakup drama. Spade brought those experiences and observations to this book, which presents itself as sort of an anti-self-help book. While it advocates for personal growth, that's basically just as a means of creating stronger, longer-lasting community ties. Personal happiness isn't the end goal here, but it is a lovely side effect of toppling oppressive systems with your friends. As Spade writes, thank you. As Spade writes, the reality is very, very effed up and intense right now, and we need skills for being with each other in distress just as much as we need skills for being with each other in delight. Our attempts to live a life that looks good in photos gets in the way of the unglamorous work of creating and inhabiting the relationships we crave. Mm. These relationships, not others' perceptions of who we are, will sustain us through hard times.
The name of the book, Love in an Effed Up World. They use the real world, the real word in the real world. And Dean Spade is the author. Did you have another title? Did we not get, we didn't do snow?
Yeah, I cut it for time.
Oh, we cut it for time. All right, excellent. Amy, thank you so much for being, this is how I've gotten to now.
No.
This is what it takes now for me to.
Oh, I got my own label. I'll laminate it and I'll bring it next time.
I am so sorry and I apologize. Amy, it's always wonderful to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being here. If you want to find out more information about what's going on at the Chatham Bookstore, you can go to their website. It's chathambookstore.indywhite, that's L-I-T-E, indywhite.org to find out more. Jackie, always a pleasure. You can go to goldennotebook.com to find out more information on all the cool stuff. Anybody have any, I mean, I know you're just craze for the season, but any events or anything you want to mention or anything coming up?
No, just, you know, come shop indie, right?
Yeah. Excellent.
We have
wrap.
Later hours. We wrap.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. No greater words ever spoken this time of year. We wrap. Amy and Jackie, I thank you very, very much. If you want to see the entire list, all you have to do is go to wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.